Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, we are back. Welcome to another episode of the Middleman Talk Show. I know it's been a while, but we're back. Exactly. I am one of your hosts, Kevin, and I'm chilling today in the studio with Cohort, Stephen and Stuffy. I guess y'all
know, ain't
got nothing on this. Yeah. We did.
You know, and everybody, you'll have to forgive Kevin. He's getting his midnight love on right now.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting here grooving. But this is your man, Nick Eden, checking in with you.
We got to make it official.
Jen has been drinking, ladies and gentlemen. She's been on that dark liquor all day. You know, nerves are a little high right now because this is the return of the Middleman Talk Show. So I guess, you know, she... Jen, what you been drinking? You been drinking dark liquor? You been drinking Pinot Noir? What's going on?
No. Just sipping on just a nice Cabernet. That's all.
Oh, okay. What's wrong with a little Sauvignon?
Yeah. It goes with Kevin's slow groove. His music goes along with it.
I thought I was listening to Magic 97.5. I was like, we got Carol Blackman on the line today. What's going on? Is this the return of Michael Bayes? You know, what's going on?
I'm just saying though, man. You know, it's been so long, and you know, my temperament has changed a whole lot. You know, we was a little aggressive the last time, and you know, I had a whole lot of energy. So, man, why not make it smooth, make it lovely? You know what I'm saying? Make it something where people will want to hear the sexiness of my voice.
All
what
right.
What do you think about that?
I don't know what to think about that, man.
Man, it's all good. But for those that are just tuning in for the first time, this is the Middleman Talk Show. Man, we hope that we can give you guys an experience, man. We try to cover a gamut of topics. You know, we talk about relationships. We talk about politics. We talk about our community. And you know, we want to make sure that you guys are involved. And a lot of you possibly still remember our old number. You know, we want to put this out there first that if you would like to comment tonight, you know, you can call in at 646-564-9698. And I'll say that slow again. That's 646-564-9698. So that is the number that you can dial if you hear anything tonight that kind of gets you in the mood of, man, I want to say something or comment on that. We would love to hear from you guys. I know it's been a while. Shout out to our man Alex, you know what I'm saying? He's been on us for a while about coming back doing the show. And hey, we are here. We are doing our thing. I'm happy to have Jen back in the building. I'm happy to have Nick back in the building. And I know a lot of you guys are like, what are y'all missing? Yeah, we're missing our man Alan tonight. He's with Jen. What you call him? The good black man, distinguished black man. So he's chilling with his brother in Kappa Alpha Psi. So hey, big shout out to our man Al. So we're gonna hold this down tonight, and we appreciate everybody over on Facebook that saw the post. I know we got a lot of women out there that's looking at this title. and they're saying the middle men are back at it again. Why y'all always bashing black women? Why y'all bashing women? This is nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. So, I mean, I want you guys to have an open mind tonight. Let's have a great dialogue. Let's entertain this conversation that needs to be entertained. So, for all the listeners out there that want to get in this conversation, that new number again is 646-546-9698. And press number one. We'll bring you in once we get the conversation started. But just to get in the groove of everything, I know we've been gone for a while, and we haven't had to have the opportunity to interact with our people out here, man. What are some of the things that have been catching you guys' attention? And you know, what are some of the things that's been going on that, you know, if we were on the air, you know, it would have went down?
We might have been able to stop Donald Trump from announcing his candidacy. Hopefully not to win back.
I'm going to say this, Nick. For everybody that's out there, you know us, you know how we feel about politics. I'm going to tell you like this. I have no problem with who you choose to support. I have no problem with, you know, the people that you want to get down with in politics. On Facebook, you can actually type in friends that support Trump. And if I pull your name up, I'm unfriending you. That's on the real. It's going down. So all you people out there that got friends that are supporting Trump, man, y'all might need to talk to them or just go ahead and let them go. So you guys are ready to go ahead and get into this topic, man, because I see it's about that time, man. It's about that time. All right, y'all.
Okay.
It's about that time. We're about to go in. Jim, we got you. Al, shouts out to you out there. All right, tonight's topic. Ways single mother destroyed their son. Now, there's an article. It was written by Sean James. We posted a link up on Facebook, so if you haven't had the opportunity to kind of glance over it, just look at some of the things that he felt are ways that single mothers, not black single mothers, but single mothers in general, are destroying their sons. Now, the most toxic environment for a boy to grow up in is a single mother household. That's what he states. From personal experiences, boys don't get all their needs met by a single parent household. We've talked about this before on our show. If you guys have ever listened to the Middleman Talk Show, we talk about the holistic view of family and having a mother and a father in there. And sometimes, you know, people may have felt that we were kind of hard on mothers, but we're going to, you know, kind of get into that tonight. The reason why, you know, it may seem like that, but it's not as being as harsh as we could be or should be on each other and other mothers. You know, we can definitely get into that a little bit further on the conversation. Primarily what we're going to do tonight, we're going to go ahead and start it off with this right here, Nick. We're going to go into this clip that basically started a nice little conversation on Facebook, and it's by Nico Sherry. I got it kind of broke down so we can kind of digest it, because it's about 6 minutes long, but I broke it down a little bit so we can be able to come back after we hear this part of the clip and kind of go into the discussion from that point. So you are listening to the Middleman Talk Show. Please bear with us. If you're on Facebook, share the link to the show, and make sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend that we are on live. We're back. We appreciate each and every one of you guys for listening to the show tonight. We're going to go into this clip right here that led to this subject. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Good afternoon, my people, my people. So let's just get to the point. So, you know, I posted the article entitled Ways That Black Women Destroy Their Sons. And a lot of women want to get upset about that, but how can you? How can you read that article and not find any type of understanding about it? If you read that, I read that article, and I consider myself to be an excellent mother, and my sons will tell you the same. However, when I read that article, I felt convicted on some of the things that were said in there. And I looked at it, and I analyzed it for exactly what it was, the truth. You understand what I'm saying? It's like black women just can't find reasoning in so many things. You can't find any type of understanding. Before you sat and read it and really sat there and thought about it, you objected to it because you felt some kind of way about it. I mean, if you are the ones raising sons and the father is gone and he ain't this and he ain't that, then why we got so many problems with our boys? We have problems with our boys because we have problems with these mothers. But you don't want to admit it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to acknowledge it. You don't want to read an article that can help us get better at doing what we do. Instead, you want to read it and be upset about it. You know, and I know some of you men are reading it and you feel like the article is telling you that you're not a man because your mother raised you. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that you're at a disadvantage for sure if your mother raised you. I ain't never met a man who told me that his mother raised him and she raised him to be a man. I've met men that said that their mother raised him and he knows how to clean a house. I met a man that told me his mother raised him and he know how to cook. I know a man who said that his mother or grandmother or someone raised him and he knows how to treat women. But I've never met a man, me just personally, who said, you know what, I'm a man because my mother raised me to be a man. She can try. Because all she knows is what she knows. She knows what somebody showed her. She knows what someone told her. And she knows what someone experienced, how she experienced other men. She doesn't. And there's different types of men. So the only way that you can learn how to be a man is someone who understands you from the inside out. It's not an exterior thing. You understand what I'm saying? Being a man is something that's internalized. That's why you feel different. That's why men and women argue so much, because we think different. We feel different. Everything is organic. I don't care what you look like on the outside or how you change it. It's what's on the inside. So organically, you are a man, and there's just certain things that a woman can't do. And I don't understand why a black woman would read this article and not find some kind of understanding or be able to relate to it.
All right. That was Nico sharing. Now, if you're friends with us on Facebook, or you can go on YouTube and type in her name, that's Nico Sherry. Man, she said a lot in that right there, man, Nick. And
yeah,
I mean, I know a lot of women feel like she's attacking us. She's talking down on. What about the men? What about the other side of the equation? Are we the only ones that contribute to these boys, these young men being the way that they are? I don't know about that, Nick. I mean, she said something that was very potent where when you really think about it, when she said a woman can't raise a man to be a man. And I know a lot of women that take offense to that in our previous conversation that you were saying, like, your mother, you know, she refuses to have the terminology of Happy Father's Day said to her.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing about it. I think that the biggest reason that women get immediately upset is because, as a community, it is considered a taboo to question or to criticize a single black woman. And the reason I say that is because most of us either know or grew up under the care of a single black woman, so we're endeared to them just a little bit more. I think it's one of those situations where we are conditioned to be hard on the men, but immediately, you know, be an empath when it comes to the women. Like, for prime example, when you very rarely see someone singing the praises of a single black father, or they'll have some type of asterisk that goes with it. You know, I've heard things to the effect of, well, yeah, you're a single black father, and that's great, but women have been doing it for years. Well, what does that have to do with that man raising his children? You get what I'm saying? So I think it's always a sore subject when you talk about single black mothers. For me, growing up under the care of a single black mother, my mom, you know, I feel did a phenomenal job. She not only took care of myself and my sister, she took care of my two of my cousins, my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, my godmother, like just everyone that was possibly around. She took care of people younger and older than her. And she said in all that time, you know, when Father's Day came around, you know, she would say, you know, don't tell me Happy Father's Day. If you want to if you want to champion me for being an exceptional mother, I appreciate that. But I'm not a man. I'm not your father. You have a father. He may not be in your life to the degree that you want him to be, but that doesn't mean that you don't have a father. So don't tell me Happy Father's Day. That's not my role. And that's the truth. My mother did an exceptional job in raising me, but she did not teach me mm-hmm. how to be a man. She taught me how to be a good person.
I want to ask you this question now. One of the things, if you get the opportunity to go and read this article, for all the listeners out there, because Nick, I know you have, you know, one of the things that they pose is speaking negatively about the father. And
absolutely,
I know a lot of times relationships don't work. They state that the most dangerous thing a mother can do is speak badly about a child's father in front of them. These negative statements about the child's father are the equivalent of hitting that child with a fist in the jaw. That's what this article is stating. So,
I disagree completely.
Okay.
See, okay. So for
what is your reason?
Okay, you have to understand, for me, my parents separated when I was 8 years old. Okay? Prior to my parents separating, my father was involved in everything that I was in. I've been playing baseball since I was 4 or 5. He was always, you know, a coach on the team. You know, we always went and did things together. You know, we went, you know, crabbing, you know, for those of us in the South. Y'all know what crabbing is. You know,
right,
so we
right.
spent an ample amount of time together. When my parents split, you know, for a while, my father divorced myself and my sister, too. Now, there were things that my mother would say in the heat of an argument. And here's one thing I want all parents to realize. No matter how young you think your child may be, they're listening. They're listening. So in heated conversations, yeah, I did hear my mother say some things about my dad. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
you don't think that affected you in any means, because you know later
on. Do you
want to
know what affected me? Hold on.
Not what I'm saying.
You want to know what affected
me? Check this out, later. What affected you?
What affected me was his action. Because see, here's the difference. Mm-hmm. People can say, and once again, you got to give kids more credit than we're giving them. People can say things all the time, but it's that person's actions. It's that person's actions that are really going to shape the relationship between themselves and that child. And here's one way of knowing that. How many children do you see that are in a system that are old enough to remember their mother? And no matter what the evidence shows from what that child did not personally experience, oh, the mom could have been on crack, could have been leaving the child in the house, but they will defend their mother till the ends of the earth. Why? Because based on their actions, as far as that child's perception, and not knowing what was going on outside of what they saw or heard, based on their perception, their mother was still superwoman. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's the actions of the parent.
It may be the actions of the parents, but you do have some mothers, and you do have some women out there. I mean, they hold that anger, because one of the things that they stated in this article was projecting anger of the father at the child. So
now, see,
you know,
that's a whole
you come like Dunn, but hold on, Dunn just made a good point over on our chat board. Now, if you're on the internet, we do have a web chat on blogtalkradio.com/the middleman. You can get over there and converse with Dunn. Don was just saying, basically, man, a divorced mom is not on the same level of an out of wedlock mother, basically, who are having kids by every other person. So when you have a mother that loved that man, she may not be as opted to say negative things or take it to that level as a mother that's out of wedlock and got a father, you know, that's like three different fathers for that one child or for those three different children.
And I agree. Now, but here's the thing, because this starts to transcend. So you have to look at the article and you have to read into the things that are with it. This starts to transcend just the relationship of the father and the mother, or the father and the child. Because when a mother is projecting that anger onto the son, yes, the son is going to then project that anger back to the father. The reason why is because even though that mother is placing that anger towards the son, she is still the primary caregiver. So he is still endeared to his mother because that is the person who's caring for him. You can really relate that back to slavery. Let's look at it like this. Think about the slaves that were in the house. And they knew what was going on was wrong. They knew that the master was doing all of them wrong. But because the master showed the house Negro, you know, a little more care and understanding and let them sleep in the big house and let them work and be not be in the field, they felt they were almost fired to the master. So it's like, no matter how bad you treat me, I'm going to still love you. However, I have to project that anger somewhere. So where can I project that anger? Let me direct that anger to the person that she really wants to direct the anger to, which will endear me even more to her. It will gain me her approval even more. It's very psychological. We have to stop thinking past the surface on it.
Right. Nick, hold that thought right quick. We do have a caller. Caller 817. You're live with the Middleman. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Reed. What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Dr. Reed? What's happening, brother?
Jamie, what's going on, brother? Hey, man.
Hey, Dr.
Not much. Hey, what's going on? I got some schoolwork to do, but I couldn't resist calling in. So, yeah, if I fail, I'm blaming everybody on the radio.
Hey, man, I'll take that.
Hey, man, I got so many points, so I'll try to be as quick as possible. There's actually a psychological condition, and I just, for the life of me, I can't think of the name of it, but it's a psychological condition where you're loyal to people that do you wrong based off
Stockholm
of...
Stockholm Syndrome.
What is it called?
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so there's that. But, man, first of all, I want to say that, you know, in everything, you know, you guys know me for a while, I'm really big into balance. So anything that I say or any of us, if there's anybody out there listening, you have to realize that there is no across-the-board, all-or-nothing philosophy with anything that we're talking about, because there's always going to be someone out there that serves as the control. So no one's saying all mamas this, all children that. So let's just be clear about that before I go into anything that I'm saying. Second thing is that I think there are some cultural differences that play a role in it. Now, with me being in healthcare, I see prisoners, I see patients, I see abused patients, I see people of all types, and across racial lines, you know, the mama could be on drugs, the mama could do some really jacked up things, and I know with blacks and Latins, mama's a princess. It don't matter what she did, you know. Whereas you know, some of the other races, it just is what it is.
Why, I mean, why do you think that in our community, mothers can do no wrong? Because Nick did allude to the fact that in our community, you know, it's taboo to even correct or say anything negative about a mother.
Seeds and roots. I mean, it's not just this situation. It's pretty much anything that's wrong in our country. Everything, we look at fruits. We never look at the seeds. We never look at the roots. And we never look at the people who planted the seeds. So a lot of the issues that we have now, you know, I know you guys are touching on slavery. There are still fruit that's being produced from old and corrupted roots and old and corrupted seeds. So in our community, you know, we criminalized the black man, and that goes all the way back to black codes which predated Jim Crow, where we criminalized black men. I mean, in the image, to the point that we even criminalized black men in our own home. You know, it's this stuff is deep, man. It's some deep, deep-seated stuff. And we don't even have the time to get into the philosophy, the history. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But, you know, I called in to stick to the actual premise of what we're talking about, where mothers, you know, kind of handcuff their sons. The way I look at it is, it's like a coach. Like right now, anybody watching NFL today, we know that a lot of teams got a lot of players that got hurt. You play with the hand that you dealt. You know, in life, you can't say, well, I didn't have this, I didn't have that. So based off of all of these things, we use it as an excuse. You know, a lot of mothers, they want to blame a lot of the things, you know, some of the external stuff. And there is some validity to it. But I can't tell you how many patients I have coming in where I know a lot of their financial situations, and I'm looking at their kids jordan up from head to toe, and the kid can barely formulate a sentence. You can't blame the father on that. He's in your care. That's the hand that you was dealt. You got to do the best. You have to honestly look in the mirror and say, hey, did I really do the best that I could do? Mm-hmm. You can't continue to make excuses. You know, now there are mothers out there, you know, they might not have the education that's there. They might be working 5-10 jobs. You know, the Isaiah Thomas story is a great example of a mother, you know, exhausting everything that she could possibly do. Anybody got time, go out and watch that story. That's yes. What black mothers should be like. You know, Isaiah
Man,
Thomas,
it's
he has some issues. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a lot of great mothers out there. And you know, I don't like, that's why we started this one off, as far as we're not degrading, nor are we speaking ill of mothers, period. But we know, Dr. Reed, and you can attest to this, and I want to bring in, we got another caller right here, it's our man Don Calypso. A lot of times, you know, when you have a son, that son, the first teacher that son has is that mother. And if she's not on point, what happens? It basically throws him off course for the rest of his life if she don't put the right people in place. But I'm going to go ahead and bring Don in right quick, Dr. Reed. Hold that thought, okay?
All right.
Don, what's going on, brother?
Good evening, folks. I am so glad you guys are back from hiatus. You've been incognito for too long. I missed you guys. This is
Don, we missed you too.
Hey, my apologies for cutting in so much on the other caller. He's making a good point. I'm not going to keep long. I just wanted to make something quickly just to piss off the female listeners so they can call in. When you brought up the fact that any time this discussion is talked about as far as single mothers raising sons, the issue is, but what about the fathers? What about the men? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. When you have cases where the guy is an ancient dude, he was an ancient dude in the first place. He was never father material. But he is the one who had the vagina moist, the nipples erect, and the clitoris throbbing. And that's who the women chose to mate with. It's their choice. This is a democracy. This is America. You're allowed to do what you want. Your constitution guarantees that right. So my thing is, first of all, why are they expecting responsible behavior out of irresponsible dudes? And second of all, when we speak in the black community, why do they want to turn around and wave the finger at men such as myself, you know, Nick, Alan, Kevin, you know, and then saying, why aren't you doing something to step up to the plate? We're not the ones who are being sperminators and Johnny Appleseed populating the hood with fatherless children. And that's my issue. Whenever this whole discussion is brought up, it's not about holding the absentee fathers accountable. It's always about taking guys who are responsible, who did this stuff right, especially if they're childless, single black men who have the education.
Right.
They want to put the pressure on those men. As well, you're supposed to be a simp and a super janitor and clean up some other dude's mess. I say no. Either you hold the sperminators responsible, or you have the ladies make better choices. But I cannot force them to desire the responsible guy. So that's what I had to say. Let me shut up again and mute myself
back
for the laundry. But I love you guys, and I'm glad you're back.
Hey, man, appreciate
it. Good to hear from you, Don. Hey,
can I step in and say something as
sure,
a woman here? Okay, I know that sometimes it's hard. I think it's a community. One of the things which goes way back to our history as African Americans in this country and the destruction of the family unit is that we have this sense of I. If you're a good dude, I'm sorry. You have a sense of community. Being a good example, stepping in, stepping up, you chose to be a good dude, it's part of the story. It's part of you being a responsible member of your community is taking the slack for the ones who have not yet learned how to be that. And until we learn a society to be these examples, we're going to continue to breed these men who do not know how to be men.
Mm. Well,
to step up. If you do not, because what happens to these young boys that grow up to date your daughters? What happens to that? As a community, the good guys have to start stepping up more. I'm sorry. If we don't, it does affect us down the line.
Hey, Jen, we do have another caller right quick. Hold on, Nick. We got another caller I want to bring in. I've been waiting for a second. I know. Caller 769, you're live with the middleman. What's going on?
Brother Gordon, how you doing? Exit only, Jackson, hey. Mississippi. What's going on with you?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, man, good. Sitting here listening to the conversation. Oh, man, it's good. It's good. I can't complain. I can't complain.
All
every
right.
day above ground is good. That's true.
What's your comment, man? I mean, what do you think about
well,
it? Do you think that single mothers are destroying our sons?
It's so much that can be said about that subject matter, but I'm going to try to explain it from my standpoint. My father actually was murdered when I was 16, so I was left with just my mom. But in that same sense, I still had male figures there. But the losses of my father actually pushed me to the streets. I think you already know the story, Kevin, because me and you didn't talk. So I went out there real hard in the streets. But I had a father in my life, so I did have a sense of, as somebody said earlier, responsibility upon myself. If I made mistakes, I learned from them. I never repeated the same mistakes. And my mother did everything that she could to help raise me to be the man that I am. So I can't just put a scratch through single mothers. But in that same sense, let's go forward to today's time, because, like I said, when my mother brought me up, that was, what, early 80s, late 70s. So, you know, women were different, a total different mind frame. Now you have mothers who are like, what, maybe 16, 17 years older than their kid, 13, 14 years older than their son. It's hard to hold a position of authority when the relationship is so close. That's one of them. Now, mothers rejecting anger nowadays is more. And I agree with the brother. Women got to take some responsibility up on themselves, too. Because if you know this guy ain't no good, if you know he's sleeping around with everybody in the neighborhood, why do you want to be number 13? That's something I've never been able to figure. But that is also a major problem.
Right. You said something very interesting, Ashley. You know, because the conversation that we had over on Facebook, a good friend of ours, Lloyd Mitchell, he brought up the statement of accountability for the males. And primarily, you know, you had sisters that came in and was like, yeah, they fall, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, as Don just said, it's up to that mother to choose the right type of father so she can rear that son properly. Because you do have instances where, you know, she's not even allowing that father to see that son if she's mad at him. And just like what the article stated, you know, there are women out there that actually think they can raise a man to be a man through her own understanding of what a man is.
Now, a woman can raise a man into adulthood, but she can't raise him to be a man.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
There. He needs a male figure there to show him things. I was reading the article, too. I read it before I even gave the call in. To be able to control emotions. Like, some men can't control emotions. When you sit there and hear about a woman broke up with man turned around, killed woman and her family, he couldn't control his emotions. He was not prepared to know how to deal with rejection.
No.
So a man teach you that. It takes a man figure to teach you, well, if you can't get it accomplished that way, try again. If you can't get it accomplished there, move on some other way. Don't hold that, because then you're stuck in time. Time move forward, you got to move with it. Sitting up there soaking over a heartbreak for 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks of time lost. You know how much can be accomplished in 2 weeks? So
that's true.
That comes from a male. Yes, that's true. That does come from a male. Now, you speak of how women turn men, turn boys against men. Women also turn boys against women. Now, you have a lot of that. When you go through the situation of men beating on their women, I'm willing to bet you their mother either came from an abusive relationship or had several men come in and beat on her. And she just took it. And it forms a self-hate, and then it also forms that, well, maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, and you have some women who feed into that stereotype. I used to be married to one. Notice I said used to very strongly. She actually felt like, if you ain't hitting me, you're not loving me. And I didn't understand that, because to me, hitting you is not love. So I'm out. That's why she's an ex-wife. But you got more women with that mind frame
And it's because either the way they was brought up or what they saw their mother go through. It takes both to raise them. Supreme mathematics, 1, 2 equals 3. It takes knowledge and wisdom to bring forth understanding. If any one of those things are out of play, you would not have understanding. That's not knowledge, and knowledge can't bring forth understanding. Wisdom and wisdom can't bring forth understanding. You got to have man, woman to equal child. Knowledge and wisdom bring forth understanding. That's 1, 2, 3. I learned that back when I was 16, and it stuck with me because it's the truest statement.
Yeah,
because that man, man brings knowledge. That man brings knowledge. That woman helped that man show him how to utilize that knowledge to get total understanding out of the work. Mm-hmm. So it takes those two to bring up that third. Now, when those things are out of order, you are right. You have a problem. But just because that child is not your child don't mean you can't step up into a male figure role. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of my little young brothers who turn to me as uncle or father. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Now, I was going to say, man, we appreciate it. We got another part of the clip that we're going to
play. Yeah, I don't want to hold it too long. Matter of fact, I was just calling in to speak.
You're dropping jewels. That's the Trinity that you just spoke of. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to play the second part of what Nico Sherry played. You can press number one, take yourself out of the queue, and we're going to bring everybody in after we play the second part of this clip because, this article, man, it can be a self-evaluation for a lot of our sisters. It can be a situation where you can reevaluate yourself and make sure that you're not putting your son in a very bad situation where when he gets into a relationship later on, he won't be so incompetent. So we're going to play the second part of this clip from Sherry Nico. Y'all check this out. Don't hang up. You're listening to The Middleman. The number to dial in is just comment. It is 646-564-9698.
But I know plenty of y'all that's garbage mothers. Garbage. I know a chick, her son called her while she was out, and he's like, Mom, I'm hungry. And she's like, Mother Effer, we'll go in there and find you something to eat. Hell, I'm out. She did a lot more cussing, but I'm just saying. Imagine that being your mom. And some of you don't have to imagine because you had that experience growing up as a child. You know, and I just, you know, it just for the life of me, I just can't understand why Black women can't never look at themselves objectively enough to see that they are contributing to the problem that we have in society and with our sons. No one's saying that you're not a good mom. Some of you are. Some of you is trash. But what I'm saying is that even if you are a good mother, you wouldn't want to improve on that. You wouldn't want to read an article that could assist you and help you in doing even better as a mother. Because if you don't, then to me that tells me exactly what type of woman you are. And that tells me what type of child you're raising. You know, I knew a woman, her son was a convicted child molester. And she coddled him and catered to him so much that she got a babysitting job and would have him babysit the kids that she would watch sometime after she knew that he was convicted and spent time in jail for molesting children. Because he was her son and she trusted that he was infallible, but he still had them tendencies and almost went to jail a second time for the same thing. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to have some type of accountability. These things are happening. Your sons are touching your daughters. They're running around in these streets with guns. They're breaking into people's houses, pants sagging down. They're in school. They're being unruly and disrespecting their teachers. And what you do? You go down to the school and you check the teacher, even though your son is an unruly, probably one of them kids I want to snatch up by their collar when I was sitting in that classroom that some of y'all ain't never even been in. You understand what I'm saying? So stop pointing fingers at the daddy because some of you women ain't right. You ain't right and you don't even want to pause for just like one moment to consider what you could do better as a woman because you think that somehow motherhood is synonymous with good, and it's not. It's not. Motherhood is work. And some of you not good at your job. So all I'm saying is take into consideration that you just might be that mother that needs that extra little assistance. And the fact that you're ignoring it is going to create one of the men that you talk about that you can't stand meeting when he out in the street. Because I know I done dated plenty of men whose mothers wasn't in their lives in the proper way. Either they weren't around at all, they were on drugs, or some kind of issue they had with their mother. And guess what? They brought them issues right on over to me. And I had to coddle them and baby them and work through them and finally get rid of them because they had the wrong kind of mama. Don't be that kind of mother. I'm trying to raise my sons better. And I incorporate men in their lives to do what I cannot because I'm a woman.
Shout out to our girl,
okay.
Akiva. Kiki, she said we kind of biased over here, dude.
I don't think so.
We need our callers to call in because I don't want to make
exactly.
Sure just beating up on women.
Well, can I
we
say something in perspective
yeah.
that you touched on that's very important? Is that people sometimes automatically assume because you have a uterus, you're born with this instinct to be a mother. Some people just shouldn't be mothers. And a lot of girls that, you know, we always say, you know, just because you can make a baby, it doesn't make you a daddy. Well, just because you can, you know, birth a baby doesn't make you a mother either. It's a lot
Thank
of girls
you.
Out here who had baby doll syndrome. You know, they wanted a baby doll. But that baby grows up to be a human being with needs and responsibilities. And a lot of these little girls, you know, created these human beings, but then, you know, didn't want to be stuck with, you know, the human aspect of it. And the psychological part of that is not being addressed with a lot of young girls who don't have anyone to show them how to be a mother or show them how to be real women.
Totally, totally agree, Jen. Absolutely, totally agree. I want to touch on something
you know
that
what?
She said in the video, but yeah. I also want to touch on something that Jen said a little earlier about the good men stepping up in the community, which I agree. I've been mentoring young men since I was in my 20s, and I absolutely agree with her wholeheartedly. Here's a problem that we face in today's society. In today's society, where we can know and say all day, it takes a village. It takes a village. Nowadays, we don't allow the village to help. So those good men could very well try to step up. You're absolutely right. But in so many times, we don't want anybody saying anything to our child or to us about our child because, one, we're insecure possibly about how we're raising them and how they're acting when they're not around us. But then, two, we think, well, nobody can raise my child better than me. And that's just a syndrome that not only mothers but parents in general have. So the community aspect, Jen, I absolutely agree with you, and I agree with the sister in the video, but the reality is, as parents, we have to allow that to come in. But we're so scared of criticism or critiquing that we don't even want to allow that to come in. Now, on that same token, I do think it takes time. And just like she said at the end of the video, you know, she does allow men in her child's life to show good examples of what a man is. I am totally for that. I still mentor children to this day. And it takes time because you can't let everyone around your child. We all know this. But it does have to be an effort. They don't have to be screwing the mama just to be the male influence in the man, in the boy's life. They don't have to. I can point to several male influences growing up. Mr. Joe Moore that stayed right down the street from me, he, not only was he a good influence in my church, he was also a police officer who gave me, I didn't grow up with a bias against cops because I saw a good representation of cops when I was a kid. You know what I mean? You know, my eventual stepfather, Willie Anderson, which showed me what it was like to be a real man. But even when my mom and he were just friends, he still showed me how to do that. My Uncle Rob, who wasn't my blood uncle, but that's my uncle. His sons, those are my cousins. And you can't tell me any different. Show me what a real man is like, what a real man does. You get what I'm saying? So there are ways that people can be around your children, and it can be limited or it can be extensive, but at least give them the access, at least give them the chance to try. And if nothing else, there's a local community organization in nearly every neighborhood that has a program like that. Big brother, big sister, mentoring program, even things as simple as tutoring. We have to give these young men a chance
to be men and be around a positive male influence. They don't have to be around them 24/7. They don't have to be around 24/7. It only, and I think we all know this, it only takes a second to influence.
Nick, you just said something, man. Nick, it was like, you know, you were talking about your stepfather. Now, one thing that the article was speaking upon is bringing in substitute fathers. You know, they say basically the ladies are alienating the fathers of these children, you know, basically to get back at them. So do you think that me personally, I don't see a problem in it. I think that is, it all depends. It's a double-edged sword because it all depends on what type of man you bring into your child's life. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to get back, you may go after your man's best friend or your man's guy that he don't like. If you're doing that just to get back at the father, you're not doing your kid any justice with that. So, I mean, but if you bring in, like you said, you had a father that came in that had structure, he brought in, you know, a sense of normalcy into your life, so that's always good to have.
Well, here's the thing about it. And, see, on this one, I'm not about to – because, see, I'm on the side of the child. I'm not on the side of the mother or the father. I'm on the side of the child. Let me say this, because this is something that we can't put on women. That whole, oh, your mama won't let me see you. Let me ask you a question. Is that your DNA running through that child's body? Is your name on that birth certificate? If it's not, you can get a blood test and you get your name on that blood on that child's because your mama ain't gonna let me see you. Oh, that's fine. The courts will. If that is your child and you are doing what you are supposed to do as a man, then unless you are posing a danger to that child, there is nothing that can be legally done to stop you from seeing your child. You have to put forth the effort. And I think that's the excuse that so many of these absentee fathers give. Oh, she won't let me see him. She won't let me see him. Every time I see my child, he around that other dude. Okay, but that other dude is putting in the time that you need to be putting into because the adult conversation that needs to go on between you and that mother is, look, you and I, we're not really rocking right now, but I still got a child to take care of. And if we're not on the same page about anything else in this world, we got to be on the same page about this child. Now, if you're telling me you're not going to allow me to see my child, guess what? I'm going to go to the court, and I'm going to have them tell you that you're going to allow me to see my child because I'm a stark believer, and people do what it is that they want to do. If you want to be in your son or your daughter's life, you're going to do what is necessary to do it. Because if you're handling your business, then the courts are going to be behind you in doing it. And there's no excuse for that.
That's true. Nick, we got another caller we're going to bring in. I think this is my classmate, Lakeeva. Lakeeva, is this you?
This me.
All right, go ahead and beat us up because I personally didn't want it to sound like a single mother beatdown fest. It's not even like that.
No, it was just some points that were stated that sounded like a beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but why do you feel like that?
Being a single mom is not what's destroying our young black men. I'm going to get that one across. Not being involved with our children is destroying them. Not placing them in a positive environment is destroying them. You can be raised in a home with two parents and still be a messed up young black man. So we can't just put it all on a single mother.
I agree with you. Did
I
you
raised
read the
a young
about
black
my
man. Yeah, I read the whole article. I listened to the thing you posted on Facebook as well.
Right.
You got a lot of parent mothers that aren't involved with their sons.
True.
My son is a stellar child. His father is in the same city.
Right.
He sees his father, but my son is not out here participating in the buffoonery other young black boys are doing.
Right. Now,
look,
would you
can
agree?
I ask you a question? Hold on for a second, Cass. Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
There any other male influences outside of his father? Like maybe a cousin
no, because
or
my
uncle
brothers are
like
all
that.
Jacked up. No, I'm me, my aunts, and my daughter are the only influences in his life other than his father. My brothers, I wouldn't dare have influenced my son. I keep him far away as possible from my brothers.
Okay,
So I'm speaking from the standpoint of your son, because I was raised in a similar situation until those male influences were you know, introduced to me. I was raised by mostly women. So I completely get that. I think that the point that we were trying to make in, you know, in addition to what the sister was trying to say on the video, is that no one is saying that a single black woman cannot raise a child to be a stellar student, a positive, you know, role model in the community, a, you know, a productive, you know, member of society. But there are...
I can't raise him to be a man.
Exactly. And I think that's the point that I can't speak for Kev or Jen, but that's the point that I was trying to drive home. Because it was those male influences that completed that circle for me. Yeah, she taught me how to cook. She taught me how to clean. She taught me how to be respectful and great to women and everything. And all of those things are important. They're very important. And it goes to your point about you can have two parents in the household and still raise a messed up child. Because if those things aren't being taught, then the child is going to be messed up either way. But that teaching how to be a man element can only be taught by another male. That knows
I agree
how to be
wholeheartedly.
A man.
I agree. I can't teach my son to be a man. I can't do that. But I refuse to put him around other men that just because you're a man, you're not finna instill anything into my son just because you hold the title man.
You're right. You're right. You gotta protect your future. You gotta protect your legacy. And that's one thing and I appreciate you, Nick, for breaking it down like that, because the title is ways. Not saying that they do. It's just ways that these things can contribute to making your son not your son, but the sons not being who they need to be. And because, like, you know, it's amazing to me that we can't have this conversation without, I'm not saying you per se, Lakeba, but there are other people that did get offended and felt like we are coming down on black women. But I know our community needs help overall, the men and the women. And we are the
byproduct. And it's going to take some harsh
our
talk.
Generation, yeah, it's going to have to take some real talk. Our generation is the byproduct of what we're talking about today.
And like one sister said, that it all comes from our ancestors. This is all of this mentality comes from slavery, to be, in my opinion. Because the black man was taken away from the home in slavery, the woman was left to raise the children on her own. And it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And one caller stated that women need to take responsibility. Men need to take responsibility as well. You can't place the responsibility on one individual. Two people made that baby. I don't care if he is Pookie. Pookie knew what he was doing when he was making that baby.
Don't
have a baby with Pookie. Here's the point that I want to drive home before we end the show. Lakeba, you have just that one son, or do you have any other kids?
I have a daughter.
Okay. So between everybody that's on the line right now actively speaking, we have four daughters and three sons. What we did and the mistakes that we made, we have to move past that. We have to be concerned about making sure that they don't make the same mistakes that we may have made. You see, I'm invested in young men becoming the right kind of man because I'm raising two daughters. I have a 10-year-old and a 5-month-old. So I have to make sure that whoever comes and knocks at my door one day asking to take one of my daughters out, I have to make sure that, you know, I feel confident enough that somebody raised him right. And if that means I have to be the one to mentor him, then I'm fine with that. But I think the problem is when these types of conversations happen, more often than not, people get upset. And it may not be based on insecurity, but you might be feeling some type of way about it. And we have to take our emotion out of it and think about the better welfare of the children.
Amen.
So that's all I had to really say.
Thank you.
I don't want to shoot you. I don't want to shoot your sons, but if they come to my house like that,
I agree.
Good aim.
I'm raising a son for somebody's daughter, and I have a daughter that I hope that she chooses the right son that somebody raised. So yeah, we all are a part of this this whole, you know, this whole effort to make a better people in the future for our people. But Lakeva, man, we appreciate you for calling in. Thank you. Hey, I really do appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, classmate.
All right, now. Nick, you know something else that was said in that video, too, and shouts out to my man Trooper the Dunn. I know he's listening in out there. She was talking about men. She dated men that were able to tell her, my mom taught me how to clean. My mom taught me how to do X, Y, and Z. Me and Al had a conversation about that, man, and that right there stood out to me the most, because when you think about it, a lot of us can say that. Like, it's kind of scary that what is it that we're missing? You know, what are we missing in that whole equation? Because if I can sit up here and tell you, hey, man, yeah, I can cook with the best of them. I can clean with the best of them. But can I change the tires? Can I change that oil in that car? Can I cut that tree down in that backyard? I mean, are we just disposed to being the role that we should be? Or is it okay for us to say, I can clean, I can cook? Is that okay?
You know what? That's a good question. I mean, I don't think that's ever really been posed like that. That's a good question. I mean, it is one of those things. And here's the thing about it. Having a male mentor, you don't just stop learning how to be a man when you hit 18. That's something
that's
I
right.
learned a long time ago. You know, I still have mentors to this day. I have mentors in business. I have mentors personally. I always tend to hang with older guys. You know, they have knowledge, real knowledge of what, you know, is going on. Not just the, oh, you should do this. Because there's a lot of stuff we should do. But they come with the, this is what actually is going on. This is how you handle a situation when you're confronted with it. So you never stop. And I don't think that at any time people should stop seeking out mentors. Even if you're 89 and you got a mentor that's 93. You know, you never stop learning. I'm being serious. You never stop learning.
Hey, man.
That's my
problem. I see you. I know that we're coming to the close of the show, and we appreciate everybody that tuned in today. You know, we will be back. We are back. This subject right here, we didn't want you guys, we didn't want our sisters or women in general to feel like we are just, you know, coming at you guys that hard. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at it, the same way it says wacky single mothers are destroying their sons, if you avoid these are things and ways that you can build your son. Look at it from that aspect. Take it from the positive. You know what I mean? If I tell you that you can build a house, but if I don't tell you how to build that foundation, it's not going to stand. So use this as a foundation to build that young man and look at the things that you can not do to help him become that strong man. Nick, you got anything you need to say? We go ahead and close this out.
You know, I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in today. You know, those on the line, those in the chat room. I want to thank everybody who has supported the Middlemen Show up until this point. You know, we are back. We are better than ever. We appreciate everybody who's been waiting patiently for us to come on back together. It's kind of like when that when the bat signal goes up. You know, it's like, hey, it was time. And when I tell you, you wait. 2016 is going to be something, man. We got something in store for y'all. Whole bunch in store.
Yes,
it 2016 is going to be the year of solution-based topics. We're not going to just talk about what's wrong. We've identified what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've broken down there on near every form of black culture and what's wrong in our community and our society. And it's great. We've identified it. We've talked about it. We've debated it. 2016, we're coming with the solutions. So we just want to thank
right.
everybody, man, and that's pretty much it for me.
Jen, you got anything you need to finish off with, young lady?
Well, yes, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and, you know, being consistent with us and waiting for us to come back, and just know that we really appreciate you all. And I look forward and just know that, you know, ladies, you do have a voice in me. I am here, and I will not let these guys totally take us over. So I'm excited about what's to come in 2016.
You know what I ain't doing a long time then? for that right there. You're going to be a bitch.
Come on, man.
Ladies out there, I need your support in 2016. I need you to call in. I need you to back me, support me. I'm here for you, and I want you guys to be here for me.
Hey, I'm just saying, Jen, we got everybody. We appreciate you. We thank you. This goes out to everybody listening to the show tonight. We do appreciate each and every one of you. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Are you not entertained? We are that good. Going down, Middleman Talk Show. Tune in. We will post up our next show on Facebook. Join us as a friend over on Facebook. Get in the group. Hey, man, Don Calypso, we appreciate you, brother. You had thrown a lot at me. I was trying to do this on this thing by myself. I apologize. If you want to read Don's comments, go on our chat board. He got a lot to say. Once again, thank you. We out. We need to upgrade this equipment because this is taking a little bit too long right here. Hold on.
The middleman shouted, Big Crit shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out, take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, yeah, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middleman. Hey, what's happening? The middleman. Hey, what's happening? The middleman. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com.